maybe the 4th of July, but we still got Steelers content for you right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube, Monday through Friday, breaking it down on your Pittsburgh Steelers. We also do our breaking news updates whenever we got them. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.net. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. We know it's the holiday, but we still wanted to get something out for you. It's not going to be, you know, a crazy. I didn't want to bother a guest with today's episode because I wanted to talk to you guys on my own time. But I did want to answer a bunch of questions because, like I said, we do have a hotline that you guys can call at any point in time. You won't talk to me directly, but you will leave a voicemail. You can give us your name, where you're from, and give us your question in under a minute, and we try to get you onto the show. And we don't always get a chance to do that here on Locked On Steelers because we have a lot to talk about all the time. But it's the holiday, so we're going to get through some of these questions. Remember, you can call 412-223-6644 any time of day, wherever you're at. And if you're international, you can't call that number. You can email losteelerstopicbag@gmail.com with your MP3 file. So with that being said, our first question is going to address something that I talked about a lot during free agency and a lot at the end of the season. And I said the Steelers need to find a way to keep Terrell Edmunds. If they added a superstar safety that, to pair with Minkah Fitzpatrick, that would be fine. But there's a really big reason to pair Edmunds with him for the long term. But there's still questions about the safeties they have on their roster. And this Steelers fan, Ross from Swansea, Massachusetts, asked an interesting question about who's on the roster right now. Here's Ross.
Good morning, Chris and Tony. It's Ross from Swansea, Massachusetts. I'm calling from enemy territory over here in New England. Big fan of the show. Listen to the podcast daily. My question is about the safety group. So Minkah Island is a lockdown free safety. But as far as strong safety goes, Terrell Edmunds right now is penciled in with a starting role. But we always talk about making splash plays. What do you think the chances are that either DeMonte Casey or Carl Joseph regain a starting role in this defense? Casey, as you know, has made career splash plays, including up to 7 interceptions in a season. And Joseph, like Edmunds, has a first-round pedigree. We really don't focus on PFF scores, but they have them rated all around the same. So I'm just wondering if you guys think Edmunds has the spot locked down or if this should be more of a competition. Thank you for taking my question. I hope to hear from you.
And thank you, Ross, for your question. We always appreciate when people call in. I want to point a few things out about this question. It is interesting to ask because DeMonte Casey, I thought, was a good free agent pickup after the draft was over on the Steelers' part. They needed a veteran to add to the position who could, you know, compete in different ways. Now, here's where I think it's interesting. He is absolutely right. DeMonte Casey has had his splash playmaking days. He did have 7 interceptions way back in 2018. But Casey's also, I think, at a different point than a lot of people realize than Terrell Edmunds is. For one, a lot of people get on Terrell Edmunds because he doesn't make the splash plays, because he's not always, you know, making the interceptions. And that's something he even talked about for a while himself. You know, there was one year where I think his brother Trey Edmunds had more interceptions than him because he was on a punt team and he picked off a pass or something like that. But he has had 2 interceptions in back-to-back years. I do think there's something to say for that. And I also think it's important to note when Terrell Edmunds is actually on the field, he's pairing well with Minkah Fitzpatrick and how he takes away a lot of those tight ends, how he helps in the box a lot more and allows Minkah Fitzpatrick to do what he wants to do, Now, again, looking at his competition, DeMonte Casey and Carl Joseph. Now, Joseph, I'll say this. Carl Joseph was a first round pick way back when. He hasn't worked out. He's bounced around the league for a reason. He's a little undersized at 5'10", and not that 5'10 is a terrible football size, but when you're a safety in the NFL, and if you want to be a starter, you have to be really, really, really fast and quick and have amazing instincts to be that size and play the strong safety position. Because remember, Minkah is your free safety. You want him in the back being the guy who's more aggressive. You want him flying around, attacking the ball, all those types of things that are normal for what Minka does and how he best helps the defense. You don't want him having to always play the box. And if you put Carl Joseph on the field, he's just not that guy. There's a reason he was drafted by the Raiders and then went to the Browns and then is now in Pittsburgh. And he's mostly been on the practice squad / filling in. DeMonte Kesey is different. You know, he's a little bit taller and 5'11", but he's had a lot more starting experience. I think Kesey could push him. Mike Tomlin always says every position is open for competition, even when it's not really, because, you know, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt are never getting supplanted and guys like that. But he will let them see who it is. But I want to remind people, Terrell Edmunds, at what he brings to the table as a 6'1" safety who's closer to 220 than the other guys, he's big enough to take on tight ends in the passing game. He's strong enough to help in the run game, but he's quick enough to run with underneath receivers. Where you see him kind of falter sometimes when he's forced to cover way back and play deep and have to do safety solo safety responsibility in the middle part of the field. That's where his instincts kick in, and he doesn't have as elite instincts as Minka. I'd say his instincts are good still. Like, he's still a good player. But a lot of Steelers fans, and they were doing this before he re-signed a one-year deal with the Steelers to come back, and they were doing this during his first four years with the Steelers. A lot of Steelers fans wanted to force him out. I don't get it. I get that you want guys who make splash plays, and that's why people love Minka Fitzpatrick. But think about this, and I've said this for quite some time. Terrell Edmunds is not going to cost you $20 million a year the way that Minka Fitzpatrick. He's not even going to cost you $10 million. You could probably sign for the long term. You could probably get Edmunds on a $5 to $7 million a year type of deal, something that's friendly to the team, but gets him paid a bit. Because he just hasn't been that splash playmaker for the Steelers. And that's a big part of what makes safeties higher up in the market. Now, granted, safeties have a tough time in the market. There are plenty of guys, you know, when the Steelers didn't have Minka Fitzpatrick, there was always guys like Trey Boston that floating around the league. And, oh, why don't they pay them? It's just teams were saying, hey, you know what? We can get younger, more athletic safeties in the draft than other places. So, I look at Terrell Edmunds and I say, man, you're paying Minka Fitzpatrick already. You made him the highest paid rate of a safety in NFL history. His cap hit this year is going to be $8.1 million. But over the next three seasons, it's going to be $18 million, $19 million, $21 million when you get to 2026, that way down the line. When you have Minka Fitzpatrick being paid that much money, you want a safety partner that also doesn't cost you that much money. And maybe that involves drafting a safety, because some people say, well, just draft another one and then just you'll just be fine. But here's the other thing, is that the Steelers, they want a balanced roster. Terrell Edmunds is a solid player at strong safety. Is he elite? No, I don't think so. But is he a good player? Yes. And does he work great with Minka Fitzpatrick as a pair? You like what they bring together. You can use those draft picks at other positions. The Steelers need to strengthen their offensive line. They need to get younger on the defensive line. They need to maybe get some younger cornerbacks who can someday take the CB1 role. They need to find a backup running back. All those different positions that we always talk about, the Steelers, oh, do they need that? Do they need this? You don't need to waste it on safety if you can get Terrell Edmunds to stick around for longer. Now, granted, you don't know if he'll stick around for longer. He may want to explore free agency again, and he should. Terrell Edmunds should absolutely do whatever he has to do to get paid. But I really think it is in the best interest of both parties if the Steelers keep him around with Minka Fitzpatrick while they're together and make them the safety pair for the next 4 or 5 years. And I also think for Terrell Edmunds, he can get paid doing that while building up his reputation in the NFL. I also think it's important to remember Terrell Edmunds is extremely young. He's 25 years old with 4 years of experience in the NFL. If he signed a 2 or 3 year deal after this year, he'd still be like in his late, and he'd still be like 28 years old when that season came along. And if he's developed himself as a more experienced NFL safety, maybe then someone would say, hey, we need that guy to come and help be the older guy in our secondary to keep everyone together as we're rebuilding our defense. So to answer your question, Ross, I don't think any of them are going to supplant him. I don't think Carl Joseph is really in the equation there. I think KZ might fight for snaps a little bit, but I think the Steelers really like Edmunds. I think that they knew they couldn't pay him that much, but they also had a good idea that, hey, I don't think other teams are going to go after him that much. So let's let's find the compromise there. So that's where I have on Terrell Edmunds. We have another safety question coming up in just a bit here, and a bunch of other questions that you guys have laid out. Like I said, I'm going to try and get as many out of the way in this show as possible during your holiday here. But also, again, keep it fresh on your Pittsburgh Steelers. But first, we have to come and talk to you guys about betonline.net. Now, as I told you before, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including all the information you need to bet on Major League Baseball right now. That's the only major sport out there, but there's a lot of chances to make money right now. Go and look up the odds, all the different bets that are available. There's so many different ways to bet on baseball, not just about who wins or loses, but how many home runs does a team hit? Does a certain player hit a home run? It adds to the watching pleasure and helps you get a little bit quicker through baseball season so you can get back to football season, what we love here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Again, check out Bet Online as your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, more. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more with the trends in the action when you visit Bet Online, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're keeping it rolling here with your questions. This is going to be a shorter response to the question, but I do think it's important to bring this question up because we received a lot of these questions before the NFL draft. And this is about a player who's related to a former Steeler and is in the position group that we were just talking about. Here's Paul from Manson, Iowa.
Hey, Chris. Paul here, calling in from Manson, Iowa. My question is about the safety room. I know we got a lot of talented guys there. Recently signed Devontae Casey. But my question is, should we trade for the Raiders' undrafted free agent, Isaiah Polamalu? He's the nephew of Troy Polamalu. That's my question. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul, for your question. First, no, they shouldn't. And I'll tell you why. Again, I wanted to make this one a bit shorter, but I like the idea of Isaiah Polamalu, who's Troy Polamalu's nephew, played at USC a few years ago when he was a sophomore and coming up. He had like a 4-interception season in 2018, 2019. Let me make sure I'm not just making that up right now. 2019, he had a 4-interception season, had 5.5 tackles for loss, a sack and a half that season. And back then it was like, oh, this is a 6'3 safety doing all that? Okay, maybe. But then he only played six games because of the pandemic in 2020, only had an interception that season, came back in 2021, didn't have a single interception, only had one pass breakup on the season, only had one tackle for loss, kind of faded away. And listen, he's 6'3", and all that, and it's nice, but you don't trade for undrafted rookies. You wait for those guys to hit the practice squad or get cut, and then you add them to your roster, but you would never trade for them. But I know there's a lot of people out there that were like, well, wait a second, the Steelers are about family guys. They got Connor Hayward, whose brother was Cam Hayward. They got Trey Edmonds and Terrell Edmonds. They've got TJ Watt and Derek Watt, and they got the Davis twins, and they love doing this kind of stuff. I think they appreciate it when it happens, but it's not a forced thing. It's not like a, hey, let's find a way to make that happen just so we can get this family connection there. Isaiah Polamalu, again, 6'3", but when you look at his athletic markers, comparing him to Terrell Edmonds, he's a bit of a step behind. He's a slower in the 40-yard dash. Didn't have nearly as good of a vertical jump. Actually had a very bad vertical jump of only 31 inches. Doesn't have the same amount of doesn't have as good of a broad jump as Terrell Edmonds. You know, he's not explosive enough. He's not quick enough. There's a reason he's undrafted. If he ever comes to the Steelers, great. But I don't think it's going to be because of a trade. I think if he makes a name for himself, awesome, good for him. But that's not a bet that the Steelers need to make by trading to get a guy who not only did they not feel like drafting, but also didn't feel like signing as an undrafted free agent after the draft is over. So that question being out of the way, this question comes from James in Pennsylvania, who's asked a question before. This is about another, this is a person who is a free agent and the offensive tackle group who the Steelers could theoretically sign. You'll get my thoughts on that in a sec, but here's James's question.
Hey, Chris, this is James from Pennsylvania. I had a question. The Steelers are kind of weak on offensive tackle positions. We don't really have a lot of depth. So I was thinking Isaiah Wilson, he's a free agent. He's only 23. He is a former first-round pick from 2020. He did have some legal issues and, disciplinary issues. But I figured that maybe if he came to Pittsburgh, he would maybe calm down a bit. What are your thoughts on signing Isaiah Wilson? Thank you. I really hope you have a good rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks, James. Appreciate your question and appreciate all of our callers who call in and ask questions. No, the Steelers should not consider Isaiah Wilson, particularly a few reasons why. One, the legal issue that James is referencing is a DUI that he had back in 2020 when he was a rookie. And involved with that DUI was a high-speed chase that he got into with the cops, broke a lot of different laws, was charged with felonies and a whole bunch of issues. It got him cut from the Titans. He tried to sign with the Giants. He did for a little bit. They let him go. He's still floating around in free agency. Listen, the Steelers could kick the tires if the emergency comes. Like, say Dan Moore Jr. isn't playing well or gets hurt, or same thing for Chukwuma Okorafor, and you're like down to your last wire there. Sure. But last week we talked about Eric Fisher, about Tyrell Crosby, about guys who don't get into the trouble in the NFL, have found success as veterans. It'd be make more sense to kick those tires than to maybe kick the tires of Isaiah Wilson over there. If you can't stay out of trouble in that situation, that's not a good sign. But trust and believe, these teams talk to each other. They know about the things behind the scenes that we don't know about, even as reporters. So if that guy's still floating around in free agency, maybe there's a good reason. And who knows, maybe he's a reclamation project waiting to happen. But the Steelers don't need to make him their reclamation project. Right now, they're about building the locker room with strong character people, guys they really like. We've talked about Najee Harris a lot. We've talked about, you know, how Cam Hayward's trying to impart his wisdom as a leader onto Kenny Pickett. They're trying to find those guys that can set the tone of the locker room and be like, hey, this is who we want to be moving forward as a group. So all that being said, I absolutely think that they should stay away from an Isaiah Wilson type of guy. If they're going to go in offensive tackle, again, I covered this with Josh Taylor on last Thursday's episode. I suggest you go back and watch it. But Eric Fisher's still floating out there. Tyrell Crosby's still floating out there. There's a lot of guys who are in their late 20s who you could bring in, because sure, Isaiah Wilson would be young, and the idea of getting a young guy is appealing, but you don't want a young guy that's not going to be around that long or be a trouble starter or just not be good. If Isaiah Wilson was really good, someone would have found a way to overlook this stuff. But this tells me if one, he was let go after this incident, that means that they weren't liking what they saw. Two, if he hasn't been picked up, that means nobody's liked what they saw, and people have definitely at least probably tried to kick those tires. So staying away from him, just like they're not trading for an undrafted free agent. I think if the Steelers are making moves right now, remember, they're not scraping the bottom of the barrel anymore. They got like, what, $14, $15 million in cap space after the Ogunjobi deal and the Micah Fitzpatrick deal. So they've got money to spend. There's no need to waste it on guys that are probably not going to be contributors. Go get veterans, proven guys that are still in their free agency, or go trade for guys that you can be, that will take up a little bit more cap space, but will be someone that you're like, hey, this guy's been proven. We've played against before. We've studied him before. He's someone that can add to what we're trying to do at a depth at a certain position, or even start at a certain position. So no question there. We got two more questions I want to get through on this show. They're going to be more broader view on things. We did some specific questions in this segment, but I want to talk to you about two more questions, one about training camp and helping those who want to visit training camp, and a question about leadership on the team as it stands now. But first, we got to talk to you guys about rockauto.com. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership when you can get them cheaper on rockauto.com? For example, if you go to the chain store or dealership, you can see a Honda Odyssey fuel pump would cost you $353. But $216, that's at rockauto.com. You're saving yourself a whole lot of money. It's a family-owned business and serves do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore the easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write "Locked On" in there, "How did you hear about us" box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit Rock Auto. Today.
Bet
Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So we did some specifics in the last segment. Let's get a little more general with some things. There's been some interesting questions that aren't necessarily things about players that I couldn't really talk about during shows that would tie into things. They've been about, hey, like, I'm a fan and I don't know this and I want to learn this. So we're going to take some time to address that right now. Again, it's the 4th of July, or you're watching this after the 4th of July, just clicking back on this video because you need some more Steelers content. But Devin is a New Jersey fan who is about to make his first trip to Latrobe this year. The Steelers are back at Latrobe. They're at St. Vincent College, where they traditionally have practiced since 1969. They took a 2-year hiatus because of COVID, but they're back. This is a question for those who haven't done the trip before, or haven't spent any time there before, and want to know, hey, when should I go?
Hey, Chris, this is Devin from New Jersey. Hey, great podcast, best in the game on the Steelers. Quick question, not really regarding the team, but training camp. Coming from New Jersey, plan on traveling to training camp for the first time this year. Want to know the best week to go, maybe the second week when they put pads on, maybe Friday Night Lights weekend. Is that much better than padded practice? Let us know. I'm a rookie here, so I'm sure a bunch of other people would love to know if they're traveling over to training camp this year at St. Vincent College. So keep up the great work. I'll listen to you soon. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Devin, for your question. And this is a great question. This is a great question for the Steelers fans who are uninitiated to Latrobe and St. Vincent College. So, first of all, it's beautiful. It's out in the more rural setting of Pennsylvania. You're in Western PA, but you're like an hour-ish, a little bit more from Pittsburgh. So, if you're making the trip to Latrobe, one, do you want to look at the schedule and see what days they're actually practicing? Because they don't practice every day after July 26th. There are breaks on July 31st. There's a break on July 7th. There's a break on, and they close practice on August 12th. So really, you only have like the last 4 or 5 days of July and then the first 2 weeks of August. So if you want to plan it out now. And this is why I wanted to do this for early June, because this is around the time you'd be planning for that. So to answer your question, prime time for me would be the first weekend of camp, which Wednesday is their first official practice. They report on the 26th on a Tuesday. So Wednesday, July 27th, don't go for that. That's cool. It's fun. It's the fanfare of the first practice, but they're not in pads. And if you want to see some of the best action at training camp, you want to wait till the pads go on. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, the pads do go on the first weekend of practice, I think it is. I believe it's like Friday, Saturday, that first break there. That's when you're going to see the pads go on. I believe Saturday might even be the actual first day. And then that's why you see no practice, because, hey, we just put pads on. Let's give them a break. Let's let them ice up a little bit. Then we'll get back to the routine. So Saturday, July 30th, I think would be a great day. And then they don't have practice the 31st. So if you wanted to make it a full trip, if you're from New Jersey, like Devin, or from somewhere else that isn't Pittsburgh, and you want to see the city, go do that. Because that's the thing. Latrobe is a bit far out. So if you're doing stuff in Latrobe for Steelers training camp, be prepared. It will be hot. It will tire you out. It tires reporters out, you know, even though we're working in it. But do that, go experience, the full thing. They have stuff for kids to play in. They have, you know, a chances to get a lot of autographs and stuff and to hang around, and it's nice out. But make some time to go to Pittsburgh and make it a separate day, because you'll want to, when you go to Pittsburgh, you'll want to probably relax a little bit, see some things. And it's a lot to try to plan in with a hot day watching Steelers practice and, you know, managing your kids and making sure everyone's doing the right stuff. So that's the first suggestion. But if you didn't go that weekend, I would then go the next weekend, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday is always the interesting one. Friday, August 5th, that second weekend is usually it's their Latrobe, when they go to Latrobe Memorial Stadium. That is always a padded practice. Latrobe Memorial Stadium is the local high school stadium for the area, Latrobe, and that's where you go. That's where the Steelers go when they want to put on a show for the area. Big thank you to that community for always hosting them. And it's where you do see a lot of the pads. It's where you do see more of the 2-minute drill. They kind of work to put on more of a show for fans in that setting. Now, it's going to be more crowded. It's going to be like, you know, stadium seating. It won't be just like the hills at St. Vincent. If you haven't been to St. Vincent, they do have bleachers, but they also have these grassy hills that you can sit on and kind of just, you know, get your beach towel out, roll it out, and kind of chill. And that's really nice. But if you want to guarantee, see pads on, excitement, you know, a little bit faster pace, more stuff for the fans, that August 5th night, the Friday in La Trobe is usually a good one. And then usually like the, you know, that weekend, and then maybe the Monday after when they're about to get ready for their first when they're getting ready for some preseason games, because they will have their preseason games that next Saturday. So that's my suggestion. Go with Saturday, July 30th as a good date. You'll get the 31st to not have to do any, you know, you'll see a practice and not feel like you're missing anything. You can go see Pittsburgh or go on August 5th those times. But hey, if you can't make those days, you got to go on during the week. It's still a good time. I'm not trying to disinterest you, but I'm just saying if you want to see those padded practices and not the ones where they're wearing, you know, t-shirts and shorts or, you know, their jersey and shorts, those are the days to probably go because you want to get those. All right. Last question here. We have Tom from Frederick, Maryland. We have a lot of people calling from all over the place. Steeler Nation is huge. That's what I always tell people. So this question from Tom on the leadership of the Steelers.
Hey, Chris, this is Tom from Frederick, Maryland. I had a question about team captains. I'm not really sure how they go about selecting captains each year and whether it has to be equally represented offense and defense or special teams. And who do you think the captains are going to be this year? Appreciate the question. Love the answer to the question. Love the show. Thanks a lot.
Good question, Tom. Thank you for your question. And again, thanks to everyone who calls in with questions. But to answer your question, it is voted on every year. And there are usually three captains: offense, defense, and special teams. So for a long time, it's been Ben Roethlisberger as the offensive captain. He's the guy that's kind of just been the guy, hey, like the team votes on it. And the team, the players themselves, they vote on it. I believe it's before the regular season. I think preseason is kind of like whatever, but before the regular season, they vote on it, and those are the captains for the year. So if the team feels like it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be certain guys that you know, it's going to be Ben Roethlisberger for most of the time, hey, you're the offensive captain. Now, what's interesting is this year is that with Ben not there, who is the offensive captain? A lot of people are probably going to point to Najee, and that would probably be my favorite to be the offensive captain. Deontay Johnson could be in that conversation for being a three-year wide receiver, you know, but is he a leader? Is he a guy that everyone follows? I don't know. I think Najee Harris is going to be that guy that kind of rises up and a lot of the Steelers look to in that leadership role. And maybe in the coming years, maybe that's Mitch Trubisky, maybe that's Kenny Pickett, whoever wins the QB battle. We don't know, but we got to see how these guys go through training camp, because they do want to go through training camp and see who sets the right tones in those practices before they select. Defensively, probably going to be Cam Hayward. Was Cam Hayward last year, has been Cam Hayward for a bit. Maybe it passes on to TJ Watt. I don't know, but Cam Hayward's also that vocal center point leader for the Steelers that everyone kind of rallies around. TJ Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick are getting there. They will be in that conversation soon enough. But I think while Cam's around, he's the old man that everyone respects. And I know if Cam ever hears me say that, he would punch me in the face, because he'd be like, you don't call me old, man. But that's absolutely why, you know, they're picking him. He's the multi-time all-pro. He's, you know, the guy that's been a leader on the team. He's played with Troy Polamalu, also played with the mid-2010s and brought them through that. And now he's the guy that's kind of like, hey, I'm setting the tone for everyone. So he's probably going to be a defensive captain. Special teams is interesting. You know, a lot of people probably presume, oh, Chris Boswell. But it's often the guy who leads the special teams room on what they're working on. Last year, that was Derek Watt. I would anticipate it would be Derek Watt again. Usually it's the person who's probably the best guy for Danny Smith to work with to kind of get everyone rallied around and say, hey, we got to focus on our points and make sure that these things are cleaned up here. So that's the answer to your question. There's three captains: offense, defense, and special teams. They're voted on by the specific units of the Steelers. So the defense will vote on the defense, offense on the offense, special teams on special teams. And that's how they kind of form up those rooms. But it's an interesting question, because I do think it'll be interesting with Ben Roethlisberger gone. Does Najee take that mantle? Does Mitch take that mantle? If Kenny somehow miraculously wins the job, you could maybe see that happening. And again, I say miraculously because I still see Mitch as the number one guy, and Kenny working his way up to number one would be the story of training camp. It would be everything. I think Kenny gets there eventually, maybe in a year or two, but this year I think that this is his time to get used to the speed of the NFL, be ready when he's called upon, and this is time for Mitch to kind of say, hey, I do belong here. I am a starter in the NFL. So that being said, those are who I got, the guys I see for captains. If you didn't get your question answered, I do apologize. We have a lot of questions that we've had, and you saw I answered, what, five on this show, and there's still a lot that I haven't been able to touch because we've been so busy. We're looking to have Tony Serino on for tomorrow's episode, but if you want your question on the show, do like what everyone else did here. Call 412-223-6644 or email lostealerstopicbag@gmail.com. Thanks so much to everyone who called in, who voiced their opinions or got a question, and thanks to those who still support the show. We hope you're having a great holiday weekend and spending some time. And if you're not a big 4th of July person, it's cool if you're spending time with family or using that time to just take time for yourself. And if you took some of your time for yourself to listen to or watch this podcast, we thank you very much here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Remember, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you want to help out the show even further, go on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. You do both at the same time. You get a special shout out at the end of the show. Like this person, J. Thomas 2010, who left an exclamation point, 5 stars, and says, "I listen every morning." That's the listener. We appreciate listeners like you, Jay. Thank you so much for listening every morning. And thank you, everyone who listens. And especially if you leave those 5-star reviews, we got another one that we'll read tomorrow from another listener who dropped one. So get your 5-star reviews. And even if you've already done one, do it again. It helps us out. And we do shout you out when you do it. Thanks again for all the listeners and viewers. Happy 4th of July weekend to all those out there celebrating and having a good time. I'm going to take a little bit of time to get a break, get some beer in me, and then I'll be back with you for the Tuesday episode of the Locked On Steelers podcast.